This morning, my title is The God of All Comfort, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Can I admit to you that this is a go-to message that I use for funerals? It really is. And you know, it wasn't so much that Paul was preaching a funeral as he was reminding the church of Corinth of where it is the peace, the solace, and the comfort comes from. The church of Corinth had been through a difficulty. Paul had been writing to the church and dealing with church issues so deep and so discerning. Paul was writing from Philippi. He's on his third missionary journey. And so in the defense of his authority and his apostleship, there are some that are resisting Paul and the teachings of Christ. And as he goes to the church in the first letter, he addresses many things. There's another letter that we didn't see, but he's addressing the issues in the church that were severe. And he was calling them to a time of repentance. Well, by the time we get to the second epistle of the first Corinthians, we see that they had repented as a result of the first letters. They come back to the Lord and they took care of what was going on there in the church. They begin to redirect their attention toward Christ and refocus what they're supposed to be doing as a church. And so that he comes to them now, he's seeing the suffering that comes with serving the Lord. There in Corinth, it was not an easy ministry. The community that they lived in was very difficult for them to live out the life of Christ. And so he addresses suffering, but it's interesting how that he says he understands that there is suffering in ministry, but he doesn't talk about your suffering and then stands on the outside having nothing to do, but yet he shares of the personal experiences of the comfort that he has found in Christ and now issues that comfort to the church. Now, as we look at this, we find that as Paul is spurring the church on, he's spurring believers on to endure hardships, to endure suffering. It's so easy that when we get backed into a corner, our hearts are broken, our spirit may even be broken, and we're exhausted. Maybe even as Brother Stan shared with us this morning, maybe we're even to a point of discouragement that we throw our hands up and say, "What is the use?" Or we may just simply say, "I just don't have the energy to do anymore." Have you been there before? I imagine we all have. And then that's when the Lord comes alongside and we take the next step. Sometimes that's all it is. Maybe we're just surrendering the next 20 minutes to the Lord. Maybe we're just surrendering the just this day. I can't think about tomorrow. All I can handle is right now. Are you with me? Yeah. There was a time that when I was young, I loved to ride my bicycle. And I'd go to my grandparents and I'd spend about 2 weeks of my summer school break. I'd spend it with my grandparents. Well, they lived in a very, very rural area, and they let me ride my bicycle around on the gravel roads, and oh, I just had so much fun. Hot summer day, shorts, you know, got your shirt off, just riding around, having a good time as a kid. There's this great big hill, and I could go so fast down that hill. It was just mind-boggling how fast I could go. Well, right in about three-fourths of the way down was this rock that stuck up out of the ground. And I got an idea. If I hit that rock, Evel Knievel would be impressed. I saw myself in my mind hitting that rock and doing the tabletop with the bike. Oh, man. Flying through the air. The crowd screaming. I go flying down the hill. That bike was flying. I hit that rock. I did a tabletop. But the bike was back here and I was in front of it. The tabletop turned into Superman. And then I realized, this is going to hurt. And I hit the gravel all down my arms, my chest, and I think my chin come down and got a little scuff there. Well, it scared me half to death. I'm in the middle of the road, spread eagle on the gravel, and I got up, grabbed my bike and dragged it to this side, and I mean just blood rolling. And I'm like, whoo, this is bad. Well, thankfully, I was only about a quarter mile from the house, so I go to the house, and Granny comes out on the front porch. She goes, "What in the world did you do?" "Well, help me clean up. I'll tell you the story." And so she just comforted me and we picked out gravel for just forever, washcloth, and I'm, you know, crying at this point. Grandpa, you know, Grandpa's tough. He said, get some rubbing alcohol and rub on that. That'll make it quit. Grandpa, you stay in there. Grandma, don't let him touch me. But you know, grandmas know how to comfort, don't they? Yeah. She had a bottle of Bactine. I'll never forget it. My grandma was brilliant. And on the label, it says Bactine, no sting. My grandma bought that just for me. Now you tell me grandmas don't know how to comfort, right? Yeah. And oh, and she'd get ready to go, I'm going to spray this now. It's going to sting a little bit still, but not as bad. And then she rubbed the back of my arm that wasn't scraped. And I'm like, oh, that helped. That helped. She was distracting me from what was really going on here, but she had to treat it. You know, there's times in life, and no matter what we do, we find ourselves flying through the air thinking, this is going to hurt, and we can't stop it. And sometimes we find that we hit the ground, and we come up, and we're all scraped up, and we think, I'm just a miserable failure as a Christian. But in reality, we're just dealing with life. We're just dealing with life. And the Lord comes alongside of us. He doesn't ridicule. You know, you should have stuck your landing a little better. You should have kept the front end up a little better. You should have probably not done this at all. He doesn't do that, does he? But he comes alongside of us and comforts us. Let's read our text. Nowhere else will you get a bicycle illustration in the book of Corinthians, but right here at Lindsay Lane. Verse 3, blessed, isn't that wonderful? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? Mercies. And the God of all, that's right, who comforts us in all tribulation that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. Consolation meaning comfort. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. You are the Father of all mercies. You are the God of all comforts, and we come to you. In those times of hurt, in those times of pain, times that we're broken, but you pull us back together and you draw us close to yourself. And Lord, as we do this today, as we study your word, may we be able to find the comforts in you that we may in turn comfort others with the same comfort you've given us. Oh, Lord, use us. Use us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know that phrase, the Father of mercies, means compassion, pity, meaning God is the source of all mercies. Not only does he know how to exercise pity and compassion, but he is the source. It's where it comes from. You know, so often I think people forget the whole reason that we, as God's people, why is it that we always bring up God's word at funerals? Because it's the only place to go for comfort. That's the reason. Why is it that we always go to God's word when we're pulling together marriages, which Congress is trying to redefine right now, and we need to be very prayerfully, urgently praying for these, because we're going to have to stand, and it may come at a cost. But the sad thing is what God commands, man cannot do away with, and nor can we. But why do we go to God's word? Because he instituted the home, the family, the man and wife to come in a lifelong relationship, to nurture children, to bring admonition, and to instruct them to bring honor and glory to the Lord. That's the purpose. But we want to redefine all of that. Why do we want to come to God's word? Because he's the one that sustains all these things that we're seeking and longing for. He gives pity. Now, you know, the next phrase, it's almost as if he sets the stage, the Father of all mercies. There's no other source. There's nowhere else to go. But when we go, we find that he is the God of all comforts. Now the phrase God of all comforts begins to show us that is a calling near for help. You ever notice when a little one gets hurt, scuffs up, they don't want anybody but mom, right? We know mom's the only one that can take care of this. Oh, it's not that bad. Oh, no. No, get out of the way. I'm going to mom. And if you try to intercede and pick them up, woo, the screaming gets excited. Like, okay, woo. And then off they go. They want mom. And then it calms, right? Because mom knows how to comfort. We call upon God for him to draw near. As we talk about the soothing and the cooling of the stinging pain, we're searching for God's closeness. As we talk about these examples of trying to treat the wound, but often God is trying to calm the soul. Amen? Calm our spirits. Sometimes these traumatic experiences break us down to the very core of who we are. It strikes to the very foundations of our faith, does it not? I think if we're very honest that we would say so. Here's a quote from Charles Stanley. He says, too often Christian believers in their walk with the Lord is not as it should be because of their intense pain. They don't feel comfortable. Feeling comfortable and being comforted are two different things. The first is a nice feeling but tends to come and go as feelings do. The second is a fact based on the comforter, not on circumstances. And he does not come and go, but promised to never leave us. Think about that. We're not just searching to be comfortable, but we're searching to be comforted. It is a shifting of the mind, and an understanding is that I'm just not trying to get out of this situation, but I want to get nearer to the Lord in this situation. Amen? Even Paul, he cried out and asked the Lord to remove the thorn in the flesh that was there. And yet the Lord come back and says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Jesus cried out in great suffering in the Garden of Eden. And no, there was no other way but to go to the cross. And so God the Father sent an angel to minister to the Lord. And so we're not just looking for the comfort as we are looking for the comforter. But unfortunately, we feel like we're weak. Would you agree? When we're hurting and we're suffering, we just think that, well, I must be a miserable Christian for feeling this way. There's several examples that we can share. As parents, we may have a wayward child that just simply will not come back to the Lord. And it grieves our hearts. But yet, even though our hearts are aching, sometimes for years, right? We understand and we go to the Lord and we get comfort by knowing that he is able to protect them, to guide them, and love them even more than we can ourselves. Maybe there's a spouse that's been abandoned by their spouse and left to grieve and mourning a loss. They find victory that when they go to an empty room or an empty bed, they realize that there is one who will never leave them. And he soothes their heart. Maybe one who's lost a loved one in death. They go and they cry before the grave marker. Is it a sign of weakness? Are tears a spiritual immaturity? No. But it's an expression of loss and hurt. But yet they find solace in the Lord of knowing that they will be joined with their loved one again. We're going to jump down to verses 8 through 11. I want to talk in the second point. The deeper the suffering, the deeper the comfort of God. Now, I'm kind of jumping around a little bit because I want to fit all this in. So when we get down here to verse 8, Paul begins to share an experience that come, but he fits it into the purpose that God has had in ministering to his heart and to his life, and then becomes a ministering tool to those that are around him. Now, think about this. Verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. We think, now I put this in New Living Translation, so it's going to sound a little different than if you're following in your Bible, but I wanted it to be just in the most simplistic phrase that's going to make sense to us today, okay? We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought that we would never live through it. Now, we don't know exactly the time and place. It may have been when they were in Ephesus and all of the things that were going on there. We know his health wasn't good. He was being hunted, if you will. They were really under persecution. But we don't know exactly what that is. But here's the thing. I think that it's left open for us to be able to relate this to our lives in any situation, okay? So they were to the point that they didn't think that they were going to live through this. Verse 9, in fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God who raises the dead. Do you see the spiritual switch that changed? And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. And you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. The strength of those who have learned to rely not on themselves, but on God. Can I tell you, in being a part of our program, the Grief Share program that we do on Tuesday nights, this Tuesday is going to be our last class that we're going to finish, complete our first session of Grief Share. And you know, going into it, I, as a pastor, we're always looking for ways to be able to be better equipped to minister to those that have loss. But over and over, it comes back to a personal experience of loss and longing for the Lord. We would like for there to be a one-size-fits-all answer, but we find out that there is not a one-size-fits-all. But each one in their own personal pain and suffering and loss must personally go to the King, go to the Savior, go to the Comforter, and spend the time saying, God, why? Job didn't. But you know what? Job didn't get an answer of why, but he got an answer of who. On the video that we listened to, they have many testimonies. And can I tell you that I am very humbled? And when you find those who have experienced loss, some of them, they've lost a spouse. Some of them, you'll see a whole list. They'll give their name and it says, lost a spouse, lost a child, lost a grandparent, lost a parent. And some of them, they'll have three or four losses. And you're like, good heavens, how are they even talking about all of this with any conviction and strength? But yet, you'll find some of them that have been living alone for so many years, and the wisdom they begin to share, it's amazing. Much of it reminds me when Peter and John was preaching, and the scripture says that those, the religious leaders, took notice of these ignorant and unlearned men, that they took note that they had been with Jesus. Can I tell you, those who have found comfort in the Lord, the testimony of Christ begins to ring out loudly through you because people are watching, but they find strength. And the result is that they rely not on themselves, but on God. As Paul cried out, Lord, please remove this thorn in the flesh. God says, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And what Paul say? Therefore, most gladly will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Our times of weakness is not a weakness of faith, but an opportunity for God to show himself strong. Amen? In verse 10, Paul said, and he did rescue us from mortal danger, meaning they thought they were about to die. And then he says, and he will rescue again. Now, can I encourage you in thinking of something? In suffering, we will learn of God's deliverance. Not just at the moment, but on a daily basis. And folks, I think that's where things begin to change in our lives. Because so often when we come to God's house and we hear God's word, we want to make an adjustment because of conviction at the moment. We want to escape the uncomfortableness, if you will, of coming into God's presence. But when we find out that we can come no matter the comfort stage, but when we meet with the Comforter, everything can be healed. Everything can be restored. We can be brought back to what he intended us to be. He's not necessarily pulling us out of the circumstance, but he's walking with us through that circumstance. We find a courage that Paul has. He went to the edge of death, faced death in the face, thinking it's all over. And the Lord picks him up, spares him for another day, and sets him down. He says, now we've seen the power of deliverance that God can bring, and we see that he continues to do so. And we know that he will do so in the future. Can I ask you, can you stop an evangelist that has that attitude? Can you stop a child of God that's willing to go to the edge of death knowing we've been here, we've done that, and you know what? God is faithful. Can you imagine the attitude of the Lord's church of knowing, experiencing, living out the deliverance that Jesus has already conquered? Are you with me, folks? He's already there. He's welcoming us to him. But you know what? He tells us in the Gospels that it is with much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of heaven. We keep thinking, well, I want to avoid. It's not the avoidance, but it's who we're walking with through it. Amen? Can you speak from experience? Have you come to the Lord in times of burning and searing pain? Have you come and let the Lord breathe and blow upon the stinging pain and comforting and soothing your soul, calming you? But not always do we equate deliverance with getting what we want and how we want it. I have knelt beside gravesides and asked the Lord, why did you take them? Why did you leave me like this? Why? How am I going to carry this load? So deliverance doesn't automatically mean I get what I want. But that deliverance is being delivered so that I might continue to fulfill God's purpose for my life, even with the pain. Do you believe that he will deliver? There's many that have been there. And they can share with you that yes, he can. Yes, he does. Yes, he will. Amen? And verse 11. And you are helping by praying for us. Folks, when a missionary tells you your prayers are helping, they mean it. They mean it. But then what happens? When the Lord delivers, when we see victories happening, it becomes a contagious excitement through the church of God that we have been a part of watching God do great and miraculous things. Remember here in 1 Corinthians, he tells us that if one member suffers, that they all suffer with it. That's how the body works, amen? That's how God pulls us together. We don't sit by and watch one suffering, but we join with them. Whether it's tears, whether it's difficulties. Some may say, oh, I've got enough of my own problems, I can't bear someone else's. My friend, if you know the comforter, if you find the soothing comfort that God brings, you're going to find that you can allow him to endure your difficulties and you can jump in with someone else and watch God comfort their hearts as well. The reason we say that, well, I don't want anything to do with that because it's too much, is because you haven't found comfort in your own life. Because when you find that comfort, you find out that his comfort is much greater than any pain that you have. And therefore, you've got so much to offer and share. Amen? When just a few days before you thought, there's no way I can do this. And the Lord says, watch this. I know you can't, but I can. I will. I'll continue. Amen? My last point. We are comforted to become comforters. 2 Corinthians 1:4. Who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. There's a quote that I'd read, God does not comfort us just to make us comfortable, but he comforts us to be comforters. Do something with it. So often I talk with people that have had great loss and their lives have completely changed. Their lives look completely different. Their approach to life is completely different. How they live from day to day is turned upside down. And they say, well, Pastor, what is it that I can do? There's much that you can do. You continue to find healing. You continue to grow closer to the Lord. And you turn right around and you give that comfort to someone else. Amen. God is not stopping ministry. He's opening new doors of ministry to you. Sometimes in that time of pain, I just don't have anything to give. If you don't have anything to give, then you need to run to the comforter. as he draws you near. Now, in those two main phrases that I had touched on, the God of mercies and the God of all comforts. Comforts, it actually has a connotation that when he draws us near, it also means that there is a time of instructing. There's a time of guiding. Ladies, those of you who have lost your husband, are you not digging deep to try to find a do of many of those things that he had done? And God begins to bless you with an understanding of things that you never had before and really probably never really cared to know about? Or he begins to send others that are able to do and just places upon a heart and as an answer to prayer just shows up. I think you need help and can I do something? And you're like, praise the Lord, God sent you. I need you to do this and this and this. Are you with me? When we begin to open those doors, God is opening opportunities of ministry that you are able to fulfill. Why is it that he gives us comfort? Comfort is not found in the absence of pain, but it is found in the midst of it. I wanted to get that out there because that is so true, isn't it? We wouldn't have known that God was a great physician until he healed. But guess what? Somebody had to be sick. Remember the blind man? The disciples were like, why is this man blind? Did he sin or did his parents sin? No, said he didn't sin. He was blind so that the glory of God may be revealed. Wow, that poor guy. Are you kidding me? You know what kind of testimony he had? Can you imagine the stories that he told his grandchildren? Do you know what Jesus can do? He can do anything. Amen? Folks, those that have suffered through pain, you are not less of a person, but ministry has just opened to you that you can share the comforts that God has given you. So I want us to hit just a few here. God uses our suffering to stir faith in those around us. 2 Corinthians 1:6. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation. It's for your comfort and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same suffering which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So, God is using the suffering that we endure to stir others to faithfulness. And how does this work? God uses suffering to stir comfort in others who are suffering. When you suffer, does it not open your eyes to those that are hurting? You begin to know what they're feeling. When you go home and that individual goes home, you're thinking, I know exactly what they're going through. I know what's going through their mind. I know the suffering of loss. I know the loneliest moments. I know all of these things. Father, I'm begging you, help my brother, help my sister, that they may know your comfort. And then there are times that your timing is perfect, that something needs to be encouraging, something that needs to be instructional. You go and say, my brother, my sister, how are you? Don't tell me a story. I know better. I've been there. How are you? And they see the strength of the Lord in you, and they know there's hope, right? They're stirred in their own faith. But notice also, it's a stirring of salvation. What is that? That we capture the salvation of the Lord in our own lives and those that are lost that are around us are watching and they watch us persevere through tribulation and they stop and think that God truly is real. Amen? God uses suffering to store endurance in the lives of those around us. Never give up. Remember I told you that last week, there is always hope in the Lord Jesus. No matter how low you go, no matter how far away you feel, Jonah felt pretty far away in the middle of that fish. But you know what? I don't even know if any of our submarines were able to go as deep as that fish was. Think about that. It said it went to the very bottom of the mountains in the sea. That's a long way away. But there was hope. Amen? He cried out to the Lord in repentance. Suffering endures. Suffering perseveres when we are comforted in Christ. Don't let this trial go to waste. Amen? Don't let this difficult time escape you until you know the comfort of God. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads in prayer with me. As I left these challenges with you, there's stages to these challenges that I give you. Often we're not ready to share with others or be an encouragement until we first have gone to the Savior and gotten those wounds and those hurts healed ourselves. So don't you think for a moment that your pastor is talking down to you, that if you don't come in and you're all bubbly and excited and joyful, that you're just not fulfilling what I'm saying here today. But what I am saying, at whatever stage of grieving that you are today, first, go to the Lord and be honest with Him. Be as open and as honest as you ever have and allow Him to guide you through this time. Maybe you're of a point and a place that you need someone to walk along with you, guide you in the Word. Then seek that person out, whether it's me or another spiritual leader here in the church. Secondly, some of you may have been healing. Maybe you need to go to such a class as Grief Share or something like that to help you in the Word to work through these things. But there are some of you that are displaying right here today great strength and great wisdom. Though you handle it humbly, yet you have something to offer and share with others. What is it the Lord that is guiding you today? Where is it that you need to be searching? Where is it that you need to be serving? Where is it that you need to be healing? Use the resources that God gives you to draw you closer to Him. I'm going to lead you in prayer. This is going to be our dismissal. Father, as we come before You, there's many burdens that we bear from day to day. And we know that as we continue to follow You, that there will even be stresses and difficulties that we may face. But Lord, we know that we do not face these alone. We do not go into these without purpose. We know that when we enter into these trials, that on the other side, You have claimed a victory already. And so, Lord, we can only walk with You. Lord, thank You for being so strong and so powerful, but yet You can come into the very most intimate moments and cradle our hearts more gently than our mothers. How magnificent that You truly are. How sufficient that You are in every pain and suffering that we have. How fulfilling that You are to know that all that we go through is with purpose to bring honor and glory to Your name. Lord, before we had no hope. Before You, we had no purpose. Before You, we had no direction, and now You provide all of that, even in the deepest and darkest times of life. We can see Your heart. We can trust Your heart because we know You love us. Lord, I pray for those that are hurting today. May doors open to them of understanding of who You truly are in a way that they've never seen You before. That will strengthen their hearts, that will strengthen their faith in You, that You may use them in a great and mighty way to fulfill Your purpose in their lives. May You dismiss us now as we go into the mission field. May we share the love of Christ with someone this week. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.